1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, get rid of all ill will and deceit, pretense, envy, and slander. Instead, like a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of the word. Nourished by it, you will grow into salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Thank you, Vanessa. You know, it's good to hear the word of God from everyone, isn't it? From people of all ages, no matter short or tall, no matter where they are, because that's who that word is given. That's who the gift of the word of God is given to everyone. So this is the first Sunday after Easter. And actually, this Sunday has a couple of different names. We're not a very high liturgy church here. But it has been called the St. Thomas Sunday, because as you recall, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, Thomas was missing the first time. It wasn't until a week later, the Sunday after Easter, that Thomas saw and believed. It's also been called Low Sunday because it's part of the feast of Easter. In the Catholic Church, they would call it the octave. And so it was still considered part of Easter, although not as important as the high part, which was the resurrection. And it has also been called Quasimodo Sunday. Yes, for those fans of you who prefer the 1831 novel by Victor Hugo called The Hunchback of Notre Dame, I said Quasimodo. Because, and if you're not familiar with the story, it's about a hunchback, a person with a deformity in his back, among other things, who has become the bell ringer at the Church of Notre Dame in Paris, the cathedral there. And it's set in 1482. And this novel has been made in various movies, which you may be more familiar with the novel, depending what you read. I particularly like the portrayal of Charles Laughton. It's a picture of him. I think that's a great movie. But if you're not familiar with that, you may be more familiar with the 1996 animated version that Disney put out, which Quasimodo looks like that. In either case, the story of Quasimodo is about an orphan who has found refuge and his purpose by being the bell ringer in the Church of Notre Dame. And he's called Quasimodo because as a baby, he was found abandoned on the doorsteps to the church on the second Sunday, on the Sunday after Easter. Now, the Catholic Church does not name things after fictional characters, right? No, I mean, no one would do that. It's called Quasimodo Sunday because it's named after the first two words traditionally sung on that Sunday. So here it is. And this is Gregorian chant. It doesn't look very familiar to you, does it? Like the music we have in our pew Bibles. But Gregorian chant is something that was used in the church widely before we had organs and pianos and things like that. It was sung without instrumentation. In fact, this song goes back to a book that's over 1,000 years old. Now, since we don't sing this, I've asked Kelly to come up and give us an idea of what this sounds like.
Quasimodo genit infantes, alleluia.
Thank you, Kelly. That's very pretty, isn't it? Very pretty. And on these words, you can pick out, you can see the big Q, you can see Quasimodo, geniti, infantes, hallelujah. So this is in Latin, and translated from the Latin, it says like newborn babes, hallelujah. And that's where Quasimodo gets his name, is from these first two words. And it's also, and this is based on verse 2 of our reading for today. Let's get that up again. Maybe not. Okay. There we go. So this is the, you can see in verse 2 there, it says, instead, like a newborn baby. And that's how the way this, the song starts off. So my plan for this morning is kind of walk through this passage. And so we can see how this is appropriate on this Sunday after Easter. And how it might apply to each of us here today. So I want to start at verse 3, which says, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. So in the context after Easter, how does this relate? How do you think it has any meaning for you or for me? Well, on Easter, we tasted that the Lord was good. That's what I would contend. Because on that day, we celebrated that Jesus conquered death and rose again from the grave. And he subjected himself to this death because of his love for us, for all of us, to atone for our sins. And if we follow Jesus, then we too have victory over death. We have salvation with God, our life in eternity. Paul tells us, both us and the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, Paul says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And Paul says this not because death is victorious, but the opposite. Because when Jesus rose from the grave on Easter morning, he conquered death. He was victorious over death. Now, if you pay attention to the world around you, it's all this world really has to, I mean, it may offer us a good time, but eventually there's just death. That's all the world has to offer us. You know, but through Jesus and this victory, you know, we don't have to submit ourselves just to this natural process, but because we have tasted this victory, we do not need to settle for it because we have been delivered from it. And this is good. This is hope. And this is what anyone who has tasted it should want for yourself. That's what I want. Now, the second line, we go to verse 2, kind of where we were with Quasimodo. Peter is writing to us in this passage. He says, like a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of the word. And that's where that song comes in, you know, that we are like, we've tasted the death, but we're still like those newborn babies, like the Quasimodo geniti. And newborn babies have a lot to learn, don't they? If anyone has been around one lately, a newborn, you know, they have to learn how to smile, they have to learn how to walk, they have to learn how to talk. And after these basics, what they learn determines who they become. If they learn evil or selfishness, they tend to do those things when they grow up. But if they learn good, they tend to be good too when they grow up. But at first, all they know is how to crave that milk, isn't it? Now, this first part of verse 2 gets various translations in different Bibles. And when you see this, it's a good idea to dive into that a little bit. I mean, kind of the English word isn't quite sufficient in some cases. Now, I've used a common English Bible here, but, you know, where it says desire, the NIV uses the word crave. And the actual underlying Greek word here, epipatheo, means kind of to long for, to desire, with the implication of a need. So we really need to need this pure milk of the Word. So what CEB calls pure milk of the Word, the NIV calls spiritual milk. And again, so we go back to the Greek word in here, logikos. It's not derived from the word for spirit, but more from the word for word, from logos. And as an adjective, it means more what is reasonable, rightly ordered. So literally, the verse 2 in the Greek reads, reasonable, unadulterated milk you all long for. Because it's a plural you. It's everyone longs for this. So to express this in proper English, you might say, well, it's the Word of God, or milk of the Word, or the milk to be found in the Word. I kind of like the milk which nourishes the soul. That's what we should desire, that milk that nourishes us on the inside. And we need to desire a certain type of milk too, don't we? Not a pure milk, not that's been adulterated or changed or corrupted by men, but from the lips of God, from the Word of God. And we get this milk, the spiritual understanding from Jesus through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, His actions, His example, the grace that He gives us. The theologian J.I. Packer writes, spiritual understanding, that is the discernment of the reality of God, His ways with humanity, His present will, and one's own relationship to Him now and for the future, will not, however, reach us from the text until the veil is removed from our hearts and we are able to share the writer's own passion to know and to please and to honor God. You see, our faith is not just a head trip, not even really just a body trip, but we must be all in, our minds and our soul and our body, everything about this. And this is what it is to desire the pure milk of the Word, that milk that nourishes the soul. Now you may ask yourself, well, how old are we? You may think you don't need any spiritual milk. Well, just a chapter before, Peter has said, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, and through the living and enduring Word of God. That's where we get the phrase being born again, right? So in this respect, we're all infants. We're not old, gray-haired people, no matter what we look like on the outside. But we are young. Our souls are young. And as that, we need to grow ourselves spiritually. And thanks to Jesus and the events that we celebrate on Easter, our born-again self has tasted this, has tasted what the sweet milk that nourishes our soul. So in the Hunchback of Notre Dame, there's a situation with Quasimodo that's somewhat similar to this. So Quasimodo gets sentenced to be flogged on the pillory. That's what he's attached to there. And then left for an hour of public exposure. While this is happening, he calls for water. And a young woman, Esmeralda, approaches him with some water and quenches his thirst. So this act of kindness both quenches his thirst, but he gets a taste of that goodness, and that changes him, that changes his motivation. And like Quasimodo, this taste is what we should continue to crave. We don't set it aside, but we keep it in our hearts, and it becomes alive in us. It lifts that veil that Packard talked about. And we should desire more of that love that Jesus showed us on Easter. And in Quasimodo's case, this leads him later in the story to act and to actually rescue Esmeralda. So that's what Peter's telling us in this verse, that we should desire this milk. And to pursue this, he says also in chapter 1 that we need to be genuine in our faith and love of Jesus. We need to be holy in all we do. That's kind of you're a complete package. You're obeying God's will, God's law. You're not separating yourself. You keep God's commandments. We love one another. We are an example by our behavior. And lastly, we should not put false idols before God, because we're pursuing the pure milk of God alone. But unlike newborn babies, when we're born again, we bring some baggage with us, don't we? You see this baggage all around us in society. We have these habits of the world that we have picked up, that we see emulated around us, in some cases highlighted that this is good. So as a newborn baby, we need to shed those bad habits so that, like that newborn baby, we can learn afresh what it is to be a follower of Jesus and to go after that spiritual milk for that end goal of our salvation. So in verse 1, Peter here is saying, therefore, get rid of all ill will and all deceit, pretense, evil, and slander. These are the habits, you know, Peter mentions here. And again, we want to dive in this just a little bit. The Greek word here used for rid, epitithime, gets translated differently in different things. And in the Greek, this word, when it says get rid, it kind of leads, take it off, lay it aside, literally take one's clothes off. The idea you have a complete change. So you're still pure. You can then learn again like a newborn baby. So we must discard these things that hinder our pursuing of the pure milk of God. Any ill will or malice, as it is in the NIV, any sort of wickedness in us, get rid of it. Any deceit in words or actions, any flattery or falsehood. We don't see that practiced around the society at all, do we? You know, any pretense or hypocrisy, either hypocrisy in your faith or in leading someone on, you know, to their disadvantage. Or envy, where you hate the good fortune, the good talents of other people. Throw that off. And slander, you don't, evil speaking of anyone else. That's going to hinder what you can do. So compare these attributes to what we saw last week with Judas Iscariot. He is Jesus' disciple who betrayed Jesus to the chief priests. Ill will. You know, Jesus went to the chief priests and he said in Matthew 26, verse 15, he said, what will you give me if I deliver Jesus over to you? Or deceit. At the Last Supper, when Jesus has said that one of you will betray me, Judas says in verse 25, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. Or hypocrisy, or pretense. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, in verse 48, it says, now the betrayer, it's Judas, had arranged a signal with the mob from the chief priests. The one I kiss, arrest him. Judas betrayed him with a kiss. The hypocrisy of that. Now you may say, well, I'm no Judas. I'm a good person, right? I'm not evil. I've got nothing to leave behind. Well, also last Thursday, don't forget Peter, Jesus' disciple. Because at the Last Supper too, Jesus tells Peter that before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter, like one of us, who said, he says, never, I'd never do that. You know, that could be me speaking. I could say I don't need to leave anything behind, but the example of Peter makes me a liar. And we see that later in Matthew 26, verse 6975, that when the cock crows three times, Peter realizes that he has denied Jesus. Despite what he thought. So putting aside these vices is an important thing that we must do if we are to pursue that milk that nourishes the soul. So once we've put this aside, we can look at verse 2 again, verse 2b, and it says, nourished by it, you will grow into salvation. So get rid of that baggage, we pursue the milk, and we're nourished by it. You know, and this is the core of Peter's desire for us, that this milk is the object of our desires. It's the reason we strip ourselves of our bad habits. It's the result of being born again. And so this is a reaction we should have after Easter, when we have that taste that God is good, that Jesus arose, conquered death, and overcame sin. And we should see things differently now after Easter. We should see things differently through our faith in Jesus. And we should desire what Jesus offers. That is our salvation. You know, the desire is too weak a word. Maybe, NIV uses crave. Maybe that's a little stronger word, right? But that's still a little weak. Maybe dedicate. That might be a stronger word, because kind of dedicate implies we've mentally committed to it, but maybe we've taken some action on it too. Well, but, that may not be strong enough. It's, the language kind of fails me. I mean, how do we lift that veil and really demonstrate to ourselves and to God that it's been lifted? Maybe commit or risk it all, or single-mindedly, or maybe being all in. In poker, you bet the house. It's you got to win or there's no turning back. That's the way we must be when we pursue the Word of God, when we pursue what Jesus has given us a taste of. And this is what we need to pursue the rest of our days. Like a newborn baby, we grow up, we're used to it, and that's our focus. Now, Peter reminds us in chapter 3 what we should do. He writes, starting in verse 10, "Whatever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer." So we learn to do this by worshiping God, reading the Bible, obeying God's commandments, and through fellowship to one another. And God's Spirit guides us to what we each need to do individually. So listen to the Spirit right now. What has the Spirit been telling you this week? Is this annoying whisper in your ear that you should do something, or maybe stop doing something or focus on something else? Has the Spirit been speaking to you in this service, through the songs that we've been singing, through the words of this message? Is it to get rid of a habit? Is it to keep your tongue from evil? Is it to seek God and not your own idols? Well, I want to pause here for a little bit. I want us each to think about, what has the Spirit been telling us this week? What is the Spirit trying to put on our hearts that maybe we have been too busy to listen to? So I want to stop right now, just give us a few seconds to listen to that, because that's how we respond to being born again and to being nourished. So, dear Jesus, we want to listen to what we need to do to pursue you. Dear Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to us. We commit to follow you. So let me close in a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, you willingly died for our sins. You paid the price for our ill will, deceit, pretense, envy, and slander. You give us a fresh start, and we are born again in our faith. Thank you for this precious gift, which we do not deserve, but which is ours through your mercy. Let us drink in the milk of your word, which nourishes us so that we may grow up into your salvation. Help us to commit ourselves to you and to risk everything we have in pursuit of your good word. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.